At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. As the debate over punishing so-called sanctuary cities moves to the full state Senate this week, the Tarrant County Sheriff wants his deputies trained to ID undocumented immigrants. Bill Wayburn told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram he would need a memo of understanding between the sheriff's department and federal immigration officials in order to get 12 of his detention officers trained. They would then only look for undocumented immigrants among people in the jail. Deputies would not question people on the street about immigration status, and the program does not apply to crime victims. Wayburn said he has the authority to enter into an agreement with ICE, but he's willing to discuss the matter with commissioners or anyone in the community who has concerns. New I-35 express lanes have opened to relieve congestion between the Sam Rayburn Tollway and the George Bush Turnpike. KERA's Christina Martinez explains the changes.
The two-mile-long bypass sits between southbound I-35 and the frontage road. The good news, it won't be tolled. It'll feed drivers from the tollway directly to George Bush without having to get on 35 first. This comes with some changes, though. Drivers on Sam Rayburn who want to get on I-35 will automatically enter these new lanes. If you're trying to get on southbound 35 from 121, you'll enter the collector-distributor instead of the highway. Now, if you're driving south on I-35 and you want to get on George Bush, you'll take the collector-distributor about 2 miles north of the existing exit ramps. You'll get on the turnpike on the south end of the distributor. And finally, if you're on the southbound I-35 frontage road and just want to get on the main highway, it's pretty simple. Just get on the ramp to the collector-distributor, drive to the end, and get on 35. A similar system going northbound on 35 is expected to debut this spring. Christina Martinez, KERA News.
Now to Vital Signs, where we look at common health issues. Today, options for heart surgery. Technology has made it possible in some cases to avoid open-heart surgery in favor of minimally invasive procedures that are actually better for some patients. I talked about this with Dr. Brian Lima, a cardiac and thoracic surgeon at Baylor University Medical Center. Previously, in Vital Signs segments, we've talked about use of catheters to maybe put in a stent. But what we're talking about here is what?
The range is something as simple as just a valve crimped onto a catheter that can be deployed using an artery peripherally, like an artery in the groin, without even having to make an incision. There's also scenarios where we can actually go in through the rib cage, in between the ribs, on the side of the chest. There's even robotic-assisted approaches through the ribs, in between the ribs. It sort of depends on what the valve issue is, which valve it is, and what's best for that a specific patient.
For example,
the main pumping chamber of the heart has to get the blood to the rest of the body, and the sort of passageway is the aortic valve. It's a one-way valve. That valve can become, over time, what we call stenotic or tight. Calcium can build up, and the heart then has to work progressively harder to get that blood through this narrowing opening. When it gets to the point where it's so narrow that symptoms start to occur, shortness of breath, fainting spells, chest pain, the valve needs to be replaced. Years ago, that meant open heart surgery. Then we've progressed to not splitting the breastbone all the way, but just going halfway, what they call a mini sternotomy. You can also go in between the ribs, sort of on the front of the chest. And in recent years, you can actually have an aortic valve prosthesis crimped onto a catheter and have it put in basically like you're getting a catheterization.
Through the groin,
under x-ray guidance, much like we look at the roadmap of the heart arteries these days for cardiac cath. That drastically cuts down on the length of the surgery, the trauma to the patient, a faster recovery. And if the measurements and the approach is appropriate for a given patient, it's revolutionized, really, aortic valve surgery.
At what point are robotics employed?
You have these robotic arms that you sort of position through these small incisions in the chest. And then the surgeon sits at a console, and it's literally you're controlling these robotic arms through a screen, and it's sort of almost like virtual reality. You know, everybody at the end of the day has a baseline tremor in your hand, your fingers. The robotic arms don't have that. So it basically can get you to places through smaller incisions that you otherwise would not be able to get to. It's used in mitral valve surgery, tricuspid valve. Some folks are trying to use it to do bypass surgery. Overall, it's very beneficial in the right patient.
Who would be a candidate for this kind of surgery?
What's happened in our field is this evolution of the heart team. A patient comes in who has a valve problem. You see a team that includes cardiologists and cardiac surgeons. And together, we kind of look at all the information, all the tests, and determine collectively as a team what the best approach is. It's almost like getting a second, a third, a fourth opinion all at the same time.
I was going to ask if that if having a heart team minimizes the need for a second opinion.
Yeah, it's sort of you get the benefit of having multiple eyes on a specific issue. Where this technology really started is in what we call high-risk patients or inoperable patients, which predominantly are our elderly folks with other medical issues. Currently, if you're intermediate risk, meaning you're not quite inoperable or high risk, you can also be a candidate for this catheter-based aortic valve replacement. Right now, we actually are in a trial looking at this technology in so-called low-risk patients.
Save maybe for a transplant, do you see a time when you won't have to split the breast bone at all to do heart surgery?
Do I see it going away 100%? No, but definitely shrinking as far as what's in our toolbox to do for a given patient, I think is going to be increasingly a smaller component.
What kind of situation is it mandatory for now, for the most part?
Currently, as you stated, heart transplant substitutes or mechanical heart pumps, aortic surgery, where you're actually fixing or replacing parts of the aorta, the main artery that comes out of the heart. Those, by and large, you do also still have to, depending on where it is, have to do it open. But stents are also playing an increasingly large role in addressing those disease processes, too.
Dr. Lima, thank you for being with me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Brian Lima is a cardiac and thoracic surgeon at Baylor University Medical Center. In the forecast, partly sunny skies later on with a high of 78 expected. It's 68 now in Dallas, 67 degrees in Fort Worth.